In February 1973, when much of America was following the unfolding story of Watergate, some Native Americans were taking a stand. In response to decades of broken treaties and corruption of reservation officials, an armed group of Native Americans took control of the small town of Wounded Knee, South Dakota. What happened there is the story of Wounded Knee, which is part 5 of the epic miniseries We Shall Remain. It's airing Monday evenings on KUAT Channel 6. Next, I talk with Juliana Branham, the co-producer of the Wounded Knee episode, about what We Shall Remain represents.
American Experience is a historical documentary series that is produced by WGBH in Boston, and they had been interested in making a broad but focused documentary history of Native America.
Tell us a little bit about your heritage and how you came to be in the position to make this film.
Well, I'm a member of the Comanche Nation of Oklahoma, and I went to school at the University of Oklahoma, where I majored in film and minored in Native American studies. That was what I was interested in doing, was making documentaries about my people by a Native person. And so when I interviewed with WGBH, they asked me, out of all these stories, what appeals to you most? And I said, definitely Wounded Knee. I had read our advisors. I had read their books. I had read everything about that and thought I knew a lot about that event in history. And after doing the research for it, I realized I knew very little.
Not Wounded Knee of 1890.
Correct. This is sort of what some people refer to as the second Wounded Knee. So we do talk about that in the film Wounded Knee because, obviously, the American Indian Movement, who came in to take over the village of Wounded Knee as part of getting everyone's attention, you know, and getting the media involved, they had to occupy a place that was an icon in Native history.
However, in 1973, it was part of Pine Ridge Reservation. And at that point, it was involved in a political turmoil, and there was a lot of controversy going on over a guy named Dick Wilson. What kind of role does he play in the story?
Well, Dick Wilson was, like most elected tribal officials, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of corruption when you try to create a government like the U.S. federal government in tribal areas. As tribes people, we don't govern in that way. You're not elected into anything. It's a consensus-based style of governance. So with the Indian Reorganization Act coming in and creating these tribal governments, it gave a lot of power to one person.
He had his own army, which intimidated the Full Bloods mostly, the traditional people. His goons started beating up the people, and no charges were ever pressed. And if they did, it got thrown out of court. He controlled the whole reservation.
And the American Indian Movement, AIM, they were an extremely controversial group at the time. What role did they play at Wounded Knee in 1973?
They were called in by some of the locals in Pine Ridge who had just lost all hope. They had exhausted all their means. They tried to impeach Dick Wilson. They were unable to do so. And finally, they brought in the last sort of hope they had, which was this radical group that would bring attention. They were screaming for help, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs was turning its head. The federal government was turning its head. The tribal government was obviously the problem. So they had to bring in all that they had left, and they brought in AIM. AIM, at the time, had been looking for even a bigger, more important site than what they had been previously occupying or, you know, getting media attention towards. They had, like, for instance, they occupied the Bureau of Indian Affairs building. They trashed that. They had occupied the Mayflower, Mount Rushmore, so these iconic American Indian symbols. And they had been looking for something even bigger, and Wounded Knee was that. The book Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee had just come out. It was a national bestseller. It was in the forefront of people's minds, the treatment and the history of Native people. So this was a perfect opportunity for them to go and fight the injustice that was happening on the reservation, but also for their own matters, for their own publicity, to be able to use this site to raise the awareness of what was going on with American Indians then.
Throughout the course of the documentary, you incorporate many different styles to tell the story. The focus on Wounded Knee plays like a taut political thriller. Then there's history involved. And there's also some animation when you're talking about the boarding school system and the way Indian families were broken up and kids were shipped to these boarding schools. Can you tell us what led to you deciding to use animation in the film?
Stanley and I, the director and I, had been wanting to do something. We really couldn't figure out anything that would make sense in this story. This is a very dramatic story. It came to us when we were shooting on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and we were in the Sioux Nation grocery store, this little grocery store on the reservation, and they had a bookstore in the back, and it was all Lakota history books, one of the most documented tribes of North America. And we're flipping through this book, and I tell Stanley, I said, oh, you should buy this book for your children. It was a boarding school ledger art book. It was a book that was actually a recreation of actual ledger art. It has become famous in Native contemporary art now. The Indian children would be given, you know, like a general ledger, accounting ledger paper, and they would draw the stories that they remember from home. They would draw battle scenes, and it's colored pencils, and it's beautiful. And when I saw this, I said, Stanley, this is it. This is it. We can animate this. And right there, then it just took off from there. We got so excited. I think it looks great. I'm interested to see what other people think about it and see if it works, because it's a very, very moving segment in the film.
There is one dark day in the lives of Indian children, the day when they are forcibly taken away from those who love and care for them, from those who speak their language. They are dragged, some screaming and weeping, others in silent terror, to a boarding school where they are to be remade into white kids.
What's next for you as a filmmaker?
Strange enough, while researching the footage for this film, I came across a lot of footage of my Aunt LaDonna Harris, who was a Native activist working sort of within the White House. Her husband was the U.S. Senator from Oklahoma, Fred Harris. And as a wife of a senator, was able to create and help push through actual policy change in Washington. A lot of it happened actually, ironically, during the Nixon era. At the same time, the American Indian movement was doing their thing. She was aligned with them, but just going about it a slightly different way. So as I'm researching the footage, I'm finding every now and then she would pop up into some of the footage the networks would send to me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't know she did this or she did that. And so I started talking with her, and I did some pre-interviews, and I've just received some funding to continue shooting with that. But I'm making a film about her and what she's doing today to pass the torch, so to speak.
The landmark PBS series We Shall Remain is airing Monday nights at 9 on KUAT Channel 6. The Wounded Knee episode will air on Monday, May 11th. We have links to the full schedule online at azpm.org.